Okay, let's continue on. I was asked to give a summary of the 14 things up to where we are. Number one, a coming time of peace and security. Number two, King of the North and the South. I put the King of the North at 5 on a scale of 10, and the King of the South at 7, because there is one King of the South right now, al-Baghdadi, head of ISIS. Okay. Now, also, in the research that we're doing on Daniel 11, the first two things of the King of the North and King of the South turned out there were four additional kings not accounted for, because it is the King of the North with this action and the King of the South with this action, and there are other kings in between. So that's why you cannot read it and think, oh, well, King of the North did this, and then the King of the South immediately did this. No, there are a number of years in between. All right. Number three, world trade. I have that at 7 to 8. Number four, mark of the beast. We can put number 7, generally speaking, but in the countries that we mentioned, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Denmark, you can put them at about 8 to 9, because they're already going cashless. Rise of the kings of the North and the East, we can put that with China. We can put China at about 7, Russia at about 6, and then India is going to be included in there, and where they are as a power right now, it's hard to tell. Okay, number 6, the fall of Israel. That's the 10 tribes. Actually, all 12 will be involved, because the Jews will be involved too. Okay, so I put that, the fall of Israel, I put the UK at about 8, the United States at about 6, the rest of Europe would be about 7, okay? False prophet on the rise, let's put that at about 6. All these things are leading up to it, you see, okay? Then number 8 is the temple, so let's put that at about 6 or 7. And it's going to require, as I mentioned last time, with the Jews understanding where the temple actually was. It wasn't where the Mosque of Omar currently is. Okay, we covered the two witnesses. Okay, they will come suddenly. We don't know who they are. So that will go from, just say, let's put it at 2, because I'm sure there are preparations being made for the coming high priest at the temple. So let's put that 2 to 3 for the high priest. For the governor, we'll have to wait and see who that will be. But it will immediately come, bam, like this. Now, with the two witnesses, let's add on this. Let's add on this. The Bible shows there was the prophet Elijah, right? Okay? Find that in the book of Kings. The actual prophet, that's number one. Then we have John the Baptist, who was to come and prepare the way for the Lord, and Jesus said that he was Elijah. So that's Elijah number 2. In Malachi, the 4th chapter, so let's turn there. Malachi, the 4th chapter, okay, that's right at the end, just before Psalms, Malachi 4, it talks of yet another Elijah at the end time. Okay, Malachi 4. So we need to plug that in with the two witnesses. Why? Because the two witnesses are not going to be able to deal with the thousands and thousands of Jews that repent. Because when the two witnesses come on the scene, the Jews, there are going to be mass repentance with the Jews. Well, that's why there is the third Elijah. And again, that will be suddenly on the scene. All right? Let's pick it up here in verse 4, Malachi 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So there is yet a third one to come. Malachi 2 talks about the one who was John the Baptist. So let's go back there. Malachi 3 and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he comes, says the Lord of hosts. Okay? So the messenger to prepare the way was John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the second Elijah. The day of the Lord has not yet arrived. But it says back here in Malachi 4, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the sons and the heart of the sons to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with utter destruction. That means destroy it. Okay? So he will deal with those. Will he be the one to be baptizing them like John the Baptist was? Don't know. Probably so. So that ties in with the two witnesses. Okay? That's number 9. All right? Number 10 and 11 have to do with the churches. Number 10, the Church of Philadelphia. Number 11, the Laodiceans. So let's go to Revelation 3. And let's see how God deals with them. Revelation 3. So let's start first with the Church of Philadelphia. And this is the goal and the standard that all the churches of God need to aim for. Right here. Okay? Now, the churches of God have been scattered into many different organizations for a very good purpose. And that is so there will be many voices preaching the warning, preaching the gospel, teaching the brethren, and as we get to more and more difficult times, then there are going to have to be small groups like we have here. No longer great large groups, because we'll cover the number 12, we'll be hating Christians. So, here is what we need to do as far as how a church needs to operate. Verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia means lover of brethren. Okay? Lover of brethren. And that's one thing that we really need in the churches today. That's why we have the love series. If you don't have the love series, send for that. And when you're done with the love series, send for the grace series. We have 3 of those. Now, we also have study packs for new people. And we need to get those online so that people can just download them. We have need for them right now in the UK. So we're working on getting number 1 up. Number 2 is just about done. How that started out was this. After about 10 years with the church, and we were just a very small group for almost 10 years, smaller than what we have here, we recorded and kept the messages and everything. But when you're small, you can get to know each other and you get to love each other. And God has brought us together as different people from different backgrounds so that we're not kind of in what you would say in groups that are homogenous of the same thinking, of the same background, so forth. We are have a different background. All of us come from different families, so forth. Therefore, loving the brethren becomes a very important thing. And as Steve Durham, he gave a very good sermon on forbearance. And forbearance is the first step in loving someone you wouldn't naturally love. That's why you need the Spirit of God to love. So, lover of brethren, these things says the Holy One, the one who is true, the one who has the key of David. Now, the key of David I believe, has to do with understanding the scriptures more than anything else. Understanding the scriptures. And we'll see that here in just a minute. Who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no one has the power to shut it. Because you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. So this means you have to be true to Jesus Christ at all times, everywhere you go, everything that you do. Loving him, loving the Father, trusting Christ, believing him, knowing that every word of God is true and that you believe it, you live it, you follow it, and all of that is involved with the Philadelphia. Now notice, behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan. Now who's the synagogue of Satan? That is the super elite of the world who worship Satan the devil secretly. And he rewards them with all the power and control in the world. Now, he's going to make, they proclaim themselves to be Jews, that is, saviors of the world, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will cause them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Now, how God's going to work that out, I don't know. But that's going to be sometime way in the future, because none of them are going to be in the first resurrection. So the best it will be in the second resurrection. Okay? So that also shows how God is going to deal with us down through the millennium as well. Now here's the key, verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, or patiently kept my word, I will keep you from the time of temptation. Now, the time of temptation is different than the time of tribulation, which is about to come upon the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. Okay, I did a sermon on that a long time ago. I'll have to have Ron put it up online so you can download it and listen to it. Okay, maybe I'll have him send it and we'll add it to the next CD. How's that? Yeah, I'll do that. Okay. Then he says, verse 11, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast that you will have so that no one may take away your crown. Now, there are a lot of people coming around with a lot of false doctrines, a lot of good sounding things, but they're wrong. The worst and most malicious and most deceitful of all is what is called the lunar Sabbath calendar, which means this. Doesn't start from day one, as God did. It starts from day four, when God set the sun and moon in position for the calculated Hebrew calendar for calculating time. Okay? So they say, whenever there's a new moon, that's day one of that month. Then you count 7 days and you come to Sabbath. And then you count 7 more days and you come to Sabbath. And you count 7 more days and you come to Sabbath. And you count 7 more days and you come to Sabbath. That's 28 days. Now then, they don't tell you what to do with day 29 and 30. Because the Hebrew calendar has 29 days and 30 days, alternating. But when the next new moon comes, that's day one for the first week. So they completely ignore 2 days as if they didn't exist. And yet they think they're keeping the Sabbath when the Sabbath is the 7th day counted by days from the beginning, not from the new moon. You see the difference there? So what it does, it puts people in a worse position than Sunday keepers, because Sabbath 1 month will come on Tuesday, the next month it may come on Wednesday, the next month it may come on Monday, the next month it may come on Thursday. And you talk about chaos and confusion, see. So he says, hold fast that which you have, the truth of God, the love of God, the word of God, the understanding of God. Don't let anyone take that from you. Don't believe any of the false doctrines. prove everything by Scripture, and be willing to admit there are some things we just don't know. We have to take it from there. But notice what he says here, verse 12. The one who overcomes, so we all have to overcome. He says that to every church. The one who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall not go out anymore, and I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. Very interesting, isn't it? That appears to be the highest reward of all of those who are in the churches of God. Now, lest we get exalted in vanity and start proclaiming ourselves Philadelphians, consider this. Maybe we ought to be repenting Laodiceans rather than in our conceit claim that we are Philadelphians because of what happened with the Church of God. Would you not say what happened in Pasadena was a spewing out of the mouth? Yes, indeed. So, we need to take to heart message to the Laodiceans. Now, verse 13, he says, "To one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen." Now, we're down to the final thing, okay? "The faithful and true witness, the beginner of the creation of God," as it should read, not the beginning, the beginner. "I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you be either cold or hot. If you're cold, you're unconverted, I'll take care of you in the second resurrection. If you're hot, then you're zealous for God, you're doing the things that God wants." Okay? Now notice what he says. Verse 16, "So then, because you are lukewarm and are neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and have become wealthy," meaning they didn't start out that way, but they became that way. And I think about that, I tell you, sometimes it doesn't pay to go to the grocery store. But I think about that when I go to the grocery store. Now, with Dolores being gone, she'll be back on the 15th of February. She's having such a good time down in Texas, she decided to stay a little longer. So I have to do the buying, see, do the grocery. It's even worse when she does all the buying of the groceries because it's all right there. And if I want something, all I have to do is open the cupboard, open a package, open a bottle, open whatever. Or she's done the cooking, all I have to do is dish it up, okay? Now, got to do it all, see? So I walk into the store and here's everything there. I want a salad, I just get a little package, take it home, open it up and eat it. And I thought to myself the other night as I was doing that, I thought, Fred, now there's a backyard out here, okay? What if you had to grow all of that food with everything that is in here? And it's fresh. It's fresh. You couldn't get it every day of the year. And I thought, man, are we not spoiled? Yes, indeed. Okay? We have it all at our fingertips. Now then, technologically, look at what we have. No discredit to your digital Bible. See, we have it all right there. And talk about being at your fingertip. Now, Jonathan has got the whole Bible on his smartphone, and he was showing me how to do it, how quickly to do it. And, hey, it's going to be so much better than turning the pages if your battery's charged up. That's why you need the physical Bible. No batteries required. But he helped me out this morning. I called him because I couldn't find a certain verse with a certain word. So he got his phone, called me right back and said, it's here in Ezekiel 7. So I said, thank you. See? Because he got a word search on there. I mean, talk about having everything, see, but we should never take it all for granted and say, We have these things because we are so good. We have these because we deserve them. No, it's the age we're living in. And if you think that that's not true, just send for Israel of the Alps and watch that. And I've seen it a couple times, and every time I see it, I think of this. You know, you ever talk to yourself? Yeah, you talk to yourself all the time, don't you? Yeah. I say to myself, Fred, what would you do if you were there? What would you do? How would you live? That's amazing. It's amazing. So there are ways that we can get away from the complacency that is pervasive everywhere, and that is to understand the Word of God and not look to the physical things. For you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not understand that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now look at all the things that we have, okay? If all of those things take us away from God, from prayer, from study, from Sabbath keeping, from holy day keeping, from tithing, from loving the brethren, all of those things, see, that's why the Laodiceans are then counseled that you can change, because there's always repentance, see? Didn't we read that all the way through? There's repentance, yes. So verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold purified by fire so that you may be rich. That's the highest spiritual standard, see? Like it says there in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, Christ is the foundation. We are to build on it with gold, silver, precious stone. Some build with wood, hay, and stubble. And the wood, hay, and stubble get all burned up. Gold, silver, and precious stone become purer, better, worth more when they go through fire to purify them, see? So this is what Christ is saying. That you may be rich in white garments. Now the white garments are the righteousness. And righteousness is what? Loving God, keeping his commandments, and all of that. So that you may be clothed and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed spiritually or physically, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Now, forgot to mention, Laodiceans are number 11, okay? And 11 is a number of judgment. Isn't that interesting? I didn't plan it that way, but that's the way it turned out. Now, notice what he says here. White garments, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that they may see. Now, eye salve is to get rid of the carnal excuses that cause you not to study, not to pray, take things for granted, be willing to accept false doctrines, and all of that sort of thing. See? Now, you can tie this in with Matthew 13, where it says, where Jesus says that you've been given to know the things of the kingdom of heaven, and blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For even many prophets and wise men wanted to know what you know and have not known. And the masses are blind. Why? Because they won't listen. Because they won't obey. See? So when it says, anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see, that's like, say, taking spiritually the Word of God and opening up your eyes. How then can you apply this? You apply it this way. When you read and study the Bible, apply the scriptures to yourself as well. And remember, ask yourself the question, who is yet perfect? Nobody. We all have things to work on. Is your mind perfectly converted? No. Do you have things in there you need to have changed and removed and replaced? Yes. Okay. Well, those are the things to work on. Verse 19, as many as I love, so Christ loves the Laodiceans, I rebuke and chasten. So let the Word of God correct you. Let these things in your life correct you. Learn from the difficulties and problems you experience. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And I'll just tell you one thing, going through and writing the book and getting it ready for publication now, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, and we're going to send it to the printer this week to get it printed. That has really etched in my mind how important it is that whenever you get to thinking how great this or that is or you are, do the pen point, okay? Put a dot on a piece of paper and look at it. And remember, tell yourself when you talk to yourself, because you all talk to yourself. I talk to myself too. Many times it's dumb, stupid, you know, why did you do that, so forth. Okay, and I look at that little dot, which is barely visible, and I remind myself, Fred, that's how you started. And the only reason that you are what you are now is because of God. No other reason. And God has provided everything. God has given everything. Yes, we have to work. Yes, we have to do all those things. Yes, we have to do all that. And God has given us free moral agency. Yes, that's true, and we have to choose. We have to choose to love God and choose to love each other, you see. So be zealous and repent. Now, verse 20 is very interesting. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, you can take it this way. Christ is close to returning. Number one, that would be correct. But maybe he's knocking at the door of your mind. Wake up. Repent. See, that's why prayer and study every day is so important. Because God deals with you then. And God deals with us every Sabbath. Just think what your life would be in 6 months if you quit keeping the Sabbath. Just think what it would be. Well, you'd be out there in the world. You'd justify everything you do. Well, I'm a good person. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing the other thing. But God in his mercy hasn't come down and squashed you, and, you know, because of your sin, he wants you to repent, see? Okay, knock at the door. If anyone hear my voice, now doesn't that go right back to what? Obey the voice of God, yes. And opens the door of your mind. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's what it's talking about, see? That's quite a thing. That's quite a message here for the Laodiceans. To the one who overcomes, I will give authority to sit with me in my throne. Now, you talk about a high reward. Isn't that something? Now, notice, even as I also overcame, Christ had to overcome Satan the devil, overcome the flesh, overcome men, overcome the religious authorities, and sat down with my Father in his throne. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, I hope no one feels that because we have to bring up about the Laodiceans that I'm picking on anybody. If you feel picked on, well, then go to God. Take it to God. Okay. And what you need to do is pick on yourself. That would be the best way, see. All right. Number 12. Okay, let's do this. Let's put Philadelphians, let's put that at about 8, and let's put Laodiceans at 10. Okay, now, number 12, hating Christians. Let's come back here to Matthew 24. Boy, that sure's something out there today, isn't it? Yes, indeed. I read an account of a young 12-year-old boy who belongs to some church in the world, Christian church, and he had on a necklace with a little cross. And he was going through the checkout stand, and here's a female Muslim with a headscarf on. And she said, "Why don't you tuck away the cross under your shirt? It offends me." And he said, "Why don't you take off your headscarf? It offends me." See? Okay. We will be hated. All forms of it. Now remember, there are two classes of martyrs. The saints and those who are the martyrs for Jesus. Find that Revelation 17. Okay. Now Matthew 24. Let's pick it up here Let's just review all of it down through the time of the tribulation, just for the sake of knowing, okay? And that we'll pick up number 12, which is hating Christians. Number 13, preaching the gospel to the world, okay? Verse 1, and after going out, Jesus departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to point out the buildings of the temple. Now, you have to have in mind, you can look up here and see the pictures we have on the wall. The temple area was like this. You come down into the valley of Kidron, and you come up east to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus and the disciples had a special place on the Mount of Olives they would go. And so Jesus was probably there and sitting down, and they came to him. And Jesus pointed out to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here even a stone upon a stone that shall not be thrown down. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, across from the temple, that's why they could see it, his disciples came to him alone, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the completion of the age? That's the question that Christians have been asking from that day till now, right? Yes. And it still isn't here. How much longer do we have? We don't know. So we'll have to stay faithful and stick around. Because if there are many years left, there are going to be a lot of us who will find a place of safety in the grave. Okay? And that is, don't take that as some form of punishment. Remember, everyone who has ever been a Christian and faithful to the end died. They'll be resurrected. Okay? Verse 4. Then Jesus answered and said to them, here's number one, be on guard that no one deceive you. And boy, hasn't that been a struggle even in the churches of God, also in the world? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. Start it out immediately. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, turn on your news tonight after the Sabbath is over and watch the news. Well, they're fighting in Yemen, they're fighting in Syria, they're fighting in Iraq. See that you do not let these things disturb you, for it is necessary that all these things take place, but the end is not yet. Now think about the disciples in the first century, the apostles at that time, as things were going through and Matthew 24 was being fulfilled in many different ways, but not completely, leading up to the destruction of the temple. There were wars, there were rumors of wars, there was persecution, there was hatred, there were false prophets. So these things have come in cycles down through the ages. But as it says there a little later, when you see all of these things, know that it is at the door. So the major thing that didn't happen in 70 AD, there was no abomination of desolation. The gospel hadn't been preached to the whole world and other things. Okay, let's go on. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. That's been going on. It's continuing to go on now. And everyone is worried about Yellowstone National Park. Have you heard about Yellowstone National Park? Okay. They didn't realize it until they had airplanes to look down on it. And Yellowstone National Park is one huge caldera. Now, what is a caldera? A caldera is the remains of a mammoth volcano that blew everything up and then fell back in on itself. And now they know magma is always moving. Yellowstone National Park. And there are some parts that it gets so hot that the water will not allow anything to grow. And the magma is only 1,500 feet below the surface of the land. Now, one giant earthquake, and that goes. And if that happens, the United States is histoire, period. It is over. It would even, the winds affect us down here. But just think what it would be with the winds going east, okay? So there are many, many different things, okay? Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to affliction. Now that's happened in the past. It has happened today for those people over in the Middle East, though they didn't have a pure form of Christianity. They were martyrs for Christ, and kill you. And you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, how's that for an organization to belong to? See? And it's going to intensify even more. Verse 10. Then shall many be led into sin and shall betray one another and hate one another. And isn't that where we are today? Everybody fighting each other. Everybody against each other. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Go on to Trinity Broadcasting Channel. Go on some of the other channels on Sunday. See what it is. Go on the internet. Look at it. I mean, it's all multiplied over and over and over again, isn't it? Yes. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied. That's what we see today. Lawlessness multiplied. The love of many shall grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. So, you think about when you have troubles, think about what Christ went through. You think about what you've had to give up, think about what Christ gave up. You think about how difficult a time you've had, think about a difficult time that Jesus had. He had to overcome the flesh. He gave up being God, and he did all of this to save us. The one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. Okay, there we go. That's where we are. We're waiting for the temple to be built. It will be built. Now, why is God letting the Jews build the temple? So that the Jews will learn forever their works will not compel God to do one single thing. Not our works, not our righteousness, but it all comes from God. And also to show that Christ is coming, not because they built the temple, but because it was according to the plan of God. All right. So number 13 is preaching the gospel to the whole world. And think of what a thing it's going to be. Because here, the gospel is what? It's in the Bible. Counting all digital devices, all published Bibles. You talk about a witness. God has done his part. He's got it out there. But we have to follow through and preach the gospel and teach the brethren and love each other and get all of these things done in a world that is upside down. Now, that's quite a challenge, isn't it, huh? Yes, indeed. How would you like to be in Syria today? Or Yemen today? Or Nigeria today? Or Mexico today with the drug wars going on down there? So we can't take anything for granted. Okay, number 14. Okay, gospel in the whole world. Let's put that at about 7. Okay? Scale of 10, about 7. And there are other warnings from other people. There are financial warnings. There are health warnings. There are all of those from different people. But we have to be preaching the kingdom of God. Number 14 will be no truth, no faith. No truth, no faith. Luke 18 and verse 8. Luke 18 and verse 8. Okay? So I will finish it today, and I will get that sermon up online, okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 8, Luke 18. I tell you that he will execute vengeance for them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find the true faith on the earth? The answer is very little. All right. One other scripture. It's come to Isaiah 3. In the midst of all of this, we are going to see some catastrophic things take place. And that's why we need to pray for the brethren. We need to pray for each other. Okay? Isaiah, the third chapter. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 10. Verse 10. Say to the righteous. Now, our righteousness comes from Christ. And that means we have to be in right standing with him. Isaiah 3 and verse 10. Say to the righteous that it will be well with him. Now, you can put there regardless of your circumstances. Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body but can't take away the life. So it's still well with us, regardless of the circumstances. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. And when will that take place? At the resurrection. Okay? And then we can add a little bit more to it. Jesus tells us to watch. Watch. So let's come to Matthew 24 and let's finish right there. Watch. There are many things to watch. World news, different events. Watch ourselves. Watch the doctrine. Care for each other. Don't get lulled to sleep because it doesn't happen in the time frame you thought it would. Okay? Look at what happened. There were many people who were attending church. When things didn't work out the way that they did, they just said, well, whoop, I'm out of here. Well, that's not faithful to the end. All right, Matthew 24. Let's pick it up here in verse 33. In like manner also, when you see all these things. Now that's the key word, all, right there. All these things. Know that it is near, even at the doors. Truly I say to you, this generation in which all these things can be seen, that's the generation. Some people have thought that the generation was the generation of 70 AD. Many of the things happen just like it's listed here, but not all the things happen. So he makes it clear. This is the distinction. Jesus didn't say, when you see some of these things and you see other of these things, then you know it's near. No, he said, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Truly I say to you, this generation shall in no wise pass away until all these things have taken place. Now notice, verse 35, the heaven and the earth shall pass away. They're still here, aren't they? But my words shall never pass away. But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Then he talks about the days of Noah, eating, drinking, and all of this sort of thing. Okay? Come down here to verse 42. Watch, therefore, because you do not know in what hour your Lord is coming. Now, let's look at this in two ways. Number one, his literal return to the earth with all the saints. Number two, we might be able to add another one to it. When he comes to correct you of a fault or difficulty he wants you to overcome. Number three, so we'll make it three, when you come to the end of your life. Okay, he has come upon you, your judgment is set. Your last breath, boom, that finalizes the judgment. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have been watching and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at a time that you do not think. Then he says, who's faithful and wise? But the one who is doing the will of God. And the one who says he delays, and of course, every generation down to our time, they could be guilty of saying he delays. No, he's not delaying anything. It's all on time, his schedule. Thing is, we don't know his schedule completely. So those are the 14 things that have to take place in prophecy, and it's an awful lot of information, but we live in the age of information, so I guess we'll take it that way. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.